Hello, 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 Poised with Purpose Posse. This is your host, Amanda Popovsky, and I'm so excited. I have a fellow Amanda today on the podcast, Amanda Becker. She's a soul coach and nest practitioner, and we talk all things body love, self-love, energy blocks in the body, emotional boundaries, the power of nest, childhood trauma, emotional experiences, and expanding emotionally. And I love this episode so much because Amanda provides so many actionable steps that you can take to start to heal your inner trauma and start to work on your emotional connection to yourself. So like I said, she's an energetic healing coach and nest practitioner. She specializes in helping women release emotional trauma so they can transform old patterns and find freedom. Amanda is passionate about guiding others to heal through finding self-love, setting boundaries, and embodying their soul's calling. Oh my gosh, love it. When she isn't coaching, she is spending time with her pug Buddha or hanging out at the beach in sunny San Diego. And this is Amanda's definition of poise. She says, "My definition of poise is finding power and beauty within yourself so that it radiates from every aspect of your being. I consider myself a poised person because I have found power in my story and have learned how to balance my health and my life." So wise, right? And she also said in the episode, which I love, she said, "The only people who won't respect boundaries are the ones who benefit from you having none." She is so knowledgeable, mature, grounded, and whenever I hear her speak, I feel so at peace and stable, and I'm sure you will too. She is a fountain of knowledge and so, so serious about showing women how to master their emotions, set their boundaries, and find self-love that sticks. And just for my listeners today, I'm so excited. Amanda's offering a free first session of NESS. So NESS is a full body scan about where your trauma is in your body, and she'll explain so much more in the podcast. But if you feel called to it, and I think it's freaking phenomenal, you should definitely check out the link in the bio. And also check out all of her socials, etc. I'm so excited, and without further ado, let's roll episode number 7. Welcome to the Poise with Purpose podcast. My name is Amanda Popovsky, and it's my pleasure, passion, and profession to guide you in your journey to your dream life. My proposition for you? Together, we'll put positivity, passion, purpose, and personal growth into practice with perspective and playfulness. If you love practical problem solving plus personal development, this is the perfect place for you. I'm so pumped that you press play. So, let us proceed. Let's do it. Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited today to have one of my Facebook friends who I've been following for quite a bit now. She is an NES practitioner and a soul coach, and she is totally all about self-love and setting boundaries and emotional health. She is amazing. She is a light. She is a ray of sunshine. Please welcome Amanda Becker.
Hello. I'm so excited to be on here. I have been following you for a while now also, so it's so awesome to see you make a podcast and getting into the coaching world and all that amazing stuff, so I'm super honored to be on here.
Yay! Thank you so much. So why don't you tell the audience what you do and how you got started doing what you do?
Yeah, so that's kind of a long story, but I'll try and make it as short and sweet as possible. Growing up, and I'll get more into this throughout the podcast, but I had a few, I call them emotional experiences. So I grew up in an alcoholic family and with a single mom. And growing up, I always knew that I wanted to help other people. You hear that all the time. It's very cliche, but it was like in everything I did. I wanted to be a therapist. I wanted to be a nutritionist. And I was just so eager to help people feel good in their bodies because growing up, I really didn't know what that was like. And I battled with anxiety and depression from a very young age. I battled with a lot of my demons, and I finally got through it all. And I was like, I want to fucking show people how to embody this self-love that I have found in my life. And I ended up getting into the coaching world because a coach found me and I went through the process with her, and it was just so transformative. And I got into that world, and then recently, within the past month, I did my NES training. You can also call it NES. And that was a way for me to really work hands-on with people so that they could see what was going on in their bodies. It wasn't just talk anymore. It was a scientific way of showing people this is how your emotional experiences have affected your physical body and caused disease.
Wow. Wow. Can you explain a little more what NES stands for and kind of how that works?
Yeah. So I actually don't know what it's just the company is NES. I don't think it necessarily stands for anything, but they have done 30 plus years of mapping and scientific research on what they call the human body field. And woo-woo people will call it your aura. If you want to keep it scientific, it really is. It's your body field and it's the information in your body. So you do a scan of your human body field and it shows you the areas in your body where the information has become corroded, they like to call it.
Wow.
And it's so awesome because for me, my emotional experiences, which I'll just define a little bit more, doesn't have to be trauma. It can be something as simple as like you having a younger brother come into the family and your parents giving all your attention to them. Mm. Or something as simple as, you know, a small divorce that actually wasn't awful, but it still impacts you. All of these like really small experiences you go through. So it shows you how these have impacted your body. And then there's also these other triggers. So we have our environment. We live in a world where a lot of us live in big cities and we're constantly on our phones, on our computers, EMFs. We have all of these things around us that we aren't grounded. We rarely spend time in nature. We rarely are connected to the earth. I see that in a lot of people's scans. And then lastly, we have a lot of food and digestive issues going on in our world. So that impacts how your energy is blocked in your body. So for me, I had my digestive issues from childhood, and I also have an autoimmune condition, which are rising a lot in women. And there's the science between the trauma or experiences you have in childhood and then autoimmune later in life. Mm-hmm. Your chances rise dramatically. So NES kind of puts it all together for me, and it's just a really cool tool to show people, you know, the evidence of how the trauma or the heartbreak has actually caused the information to be corroded in your body.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm sure that's really helpful in like convincing quote unquote people who may be kind of wary about the spiritual world that like these things actually have an effect on you.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's what I love about it. And it's cool because when I did my first scan, I was really skeptical. I knew that the emotions were connected, but it shows you where each emotional shock or conflict or trauma is in your body. It shows where it has lodged, which is awesome. So I got to see actually how my childhood has caused my digestive issues, has caused my thyroid issues. And an example for your audience is like Hashimoto's or thyroid issues is usually caused by an inability to speak our truth or, you know, not having that power that we crave so much to have in our lives. So it was just so cool to see how that trauma was connected to my throat. And you could physically see it in the scan, like speaking your truth is really big for me. So,
wow. That is so cool. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. And I know you also love to talk about self-love and learning healthy bodies and learning healthy boundaries and emotional health as well as physical health. Why don't you talk a little bit about that too?
Yeah, so boundaries have been really big for me. And as I said a little bit of my story, growing up in a toxic family, you have to learn, and even with friends as well, you have these boundaries that you have to learn. And for me, that was the biggest part of my healing journey and my journey to self-love was knowing when someone's energy was influencing me in a negative way and loving myself enough to be like, we need space. It was the number one thing, especially with family. I'd always been told they're family, you have to love them, you have to put up with them. And I finally came to the realization, I was like, if your family is making you, you know, feel low self-esteem, is impacting you negatively, it's always safe to create that distance between you. And the only people who won't respect your boundaries are the people who benefit from you having none.
Oh, wow. That's a really good saying. How do people determine that their boundaries are weak or that they might not even have boundaries?
Yeah, I love that question. So the biggest thing for me, I mean, I'm a huge empath and most people don't even know they're empaths. So, I mean, I'll kind of define it, but I would always be in large group settings or with family and I would find the smallest things would impact my energy. Mm-hmm. And I was always constantly trying to improve someone else's mood. That's like the number one sign of an empath, when like you think you're responsible for helping other people's moods or like helping the situation. Mm-hmm. And once I started to realize that energy within me, that I wasn't controlling my own energy and I was consistently trying to control other people's energy, that was like, I was like, I'm clearly out of my own boundaries because I'm not even in my own body.
Wow.
And another one for me, as I said before, was just like noticing the way that I felt around people that drained me. And I could tell because the people that I loved and who brought me up, I had like this peace after hanging out with them. It was like, that was so fun. Like we were both like talking about amazing business ideas, and like lifting each other up versus like getting off the phone with someone who just like drains the life out of you. And maybe you feel like not so good about yourself, or you're just like weirdly anxious or sad for no reason, or you just feel that like negative energy in your heart space. Whatever that may be, it's different for every person, but I always just felt like I could tell the people who lift me up versus the people who were toxic or were draining. And doesn't mean you have to separate from them forever. It just means you don't always pick up the phone. Mm. Or my favorite one is I now ask people, do you have the space to hold this right now? When I have some emotional thing I bring to them. And they learn to do the same to me. You know, wow. You teach other people how to treat you. So they're like, do you have space to hold this emotionally right now?
That is so like brilliant, just in terms of communication, for people to realize that it's not always automatic that we're able to like hold all the shit that they dump on us. That is so important. Wow.
Totally.
Can you talk a little bit more about, you said it's important for girls to learn how to comfort themselves when they are hurting and to be able to connect to their emotions. Was there a time in your life when you weren't connected to your emotions, and how did you kind of realize that that was happening?
Oh man, girl. I love being an open book. So I'm like, you know, I hope that everyone knows that no matter where they're at in their life, they can change and they can choose to shift in a different direction, because I was constantly numbing out and I was a huge party girl in college. So I loved the typical like going out with all your friends, getting really drunk. And then there was always, everyone has their different thing, whether it's binge eating or it's boys. And I had those consistent things in my life for a long time that were stopping me from looking at all the pain I had in my earlier life. And once I started to see that underneath the surface and know that I was worthy of so much more than guys who did not care who I even was, or girls who only wanted to go out and get drunk or whatever it was, I was like, I need to look at all of this. And that's so terrifying for people who all they've known in their lives are these emotional experiences or this trauma, because we aren't taught how to deal with our feelings. No one teaches us how to do that. And I was a person who didn't even like crying. Like I thought it was a sign of weakness and all of this stuff that had just been taught to me growing up. So it was a very cool transition to learn how to comfort myself. And what I would say to everyone is something to look up and something to work on is inner child work. Mm. And it's becoming really big. All the therapists that I've worked with are using it. So, and a lot of amazing other people are too, but it's connecting with that little girl or that little boy within you that is hurting. Mm-hmm. And we all have that within us because we forget about that person as we get older, even though they were a majority of our lives. and our subconscious is fully formed by the time we're 7 years old. So if we can take a look back and notice how all the triggers and all the things showing up in our life now are actually a direct reflection of the experiences we had between 0 and 7, you know, we have these needs that we absolutely have to get from both of our parents. And if one of them is struggling with, this is a common one, like depression or anxiety, or the dad is absent, whatever it is, we miss a lot of those needs as kids. So when we can go back and comfort ourselves as our inner child and just say some words of affirmation to that person that's hurting, my favorite one is like, I'm always here for you. I'm listening. I'm not going anywhere. If you're struggling with body issues, like, you're beautiful just the way you are. But it doesn't have to be. I love it, because if you're connecting to that little girl, like, you can't possibly be mean to them. It's like this sweet, innocent part of you that just wants to be loved. So I tell people that's like my favorite way of connecting to my hurting self, is to get in touch with your inner child.
Wow. Something that has helped me a lot to find like those affirmations that you were talking about was going back and kind of thinking about where, like, maybe where my parents were absent, or where I didn't feel as much unconditional love from them, and kind of affirming that. Like, if say my dad was traveling a lot and I didn't see him, like, saying something like, I'm always here for you no matter what. That's so helpful. So helpful. And same thing, like, learning in my, I took a techniques and counseling class, and we were talking about inner child work too. So it's very like, it's not as like weird as people might think it is to be talking to, you know, your 3-year-old self or your 4-year-old self. It's touching on a place where you still have a huge wound, and to be able to move forward, you have to heal that.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm glad that you've heard of it before and that it's becoming something that's more well known. But I remember the first time I heard of it, I was like, that's crazy. Like, what does little me have to do with like what's going on now? It's clearly so long ago, but I've realized now that it really dictates everything. And subconsciously, your inner child is always running the show, I like to say. So if you're ignoring that part of you, you're ignoring a really large part of your emotional experiences or your trauma.
Absolutely. And learning about like who that person was and considering them a person instead of just a child, I felt like that has been really transformative for me. And seeing what young Amanda wanted to do and how she would just behave and the things that lit her up have clued me into what my purpose is. Because that's like, I feel, the purest version of where we can find what we're really meant to do, is what in what we used to do as children before we knew any better.
Yeah. Before we had any fear, or before we learned we were conditioned that we weren't able to like do all these amazing things. So I completely agree. I think that connecting with yourself and sometimes just doing the hardest thing, like choosing not to numb out with your food or going out with friends and choosing to sit inside with yourself and just connect and face some of those feelings, is the hardest but the easiest way to start transformation in your life.
And it requires a lot of vulnerability too, right? Like, it requires feeling like weird and awkward and not sure about it. But the more that you do it, and the more that you do things that feel weird but somehow feel right, like, those are the things that you're really meant to be doing.
Yes, definitely. And I think always, depending on your level of, I like to say for people, your level of trauma or emotional experience, you know, like, not doing it all on your own. Because I've seen some people do online courses where it moved too fast for them, like childhood hypnosis or taking you back to these experiences. And if you don't have a professional to work with, it can actually move too fast for you. And because some of us aren't taught how to deal with our emotions, or we've pushed our emotions down for so long that when they come up, they're really intense, it's always good just to have like a therapist or like friends around or whatever it may be, if you feel like it's going to be a very large upheaval of emotion.
Absolutely. What did you think was, or what would you say was the most powerful experience you've had with your inner child, or the biggest breakthrough you've had?
Oof, wow, that's a really good question. I mean, I think for me, my biggest lesson in life by far is my romantic relationship and just the way that they've always played out in my life. And that's due to a lot of my emotional experiences earlier in life with my dad. So my biggest inner child moment has been dealing with my feelings of abandonment and how they relate to my present life and just the way that I show up for those around me. And I think just noticing when I get triggered or when I'm reacting to people, like my biggest moment was like taking a step back and being like, this is actually all starting within me. Like I can go back and I can mend what's going on. I don't need to ask someone else for the attention because I need to give it to myself. You know, no one can go back and repair the holes that you have. You're the only one that can go back and do that. So mending an abandonment with a current relationship, or mending codependency, or like an emptiness within you by binge eating. You know, it's a band-aid, because the only way we can heal the memory is to go back to the first time it happened to us. Mm. When we were 3 or 4 years old, and sitting with that inner child and mending the experience with them is the only way out of the current behavior.
Wow. That is really powerful. Oh my God. That reminds me of something that you had said, just to clarify what the word trauma is. I remember reading something about you saying, like, you've had trauma, whether you know it or not, and trauma is about, like, if your parents were not perfect, then you've had trauma or something like that. Like, if they weren't self-aware enough to control their actions or understand what was happening, then you've had some kind of trauma. So can you talk a little bit more about that range and how you've kind of come to know or define trauma?
Yeah, this is my favorite topic too, because I struggle with this one a lot with people, because a lot of us, there's a few different things that can happen. A lot of us define trauma as, you know, the more awful things we hear about in society. And there's a lot of levels to it, but there's also the issue that when you've experienced trauma or something emotional, when we're young, we're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So our brain really finds a way to push down a lot of those memories. So there's a difference between maybe not defining it as emotional and also just not remembering, period, because mm-hmm. you've pushed it down. So I say that everyone has one because it can just be so simple. I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean, my friend, the one I gave earlier, when she was growing up, she had a baby brother that was born a year after her. Mm-hmm. And her parents like were just so excited and gave him the attention. And growing up, she always still craved that attention from mm-hmm. her parents. Because think about the trauma when you're a baby and all the attention's on you. Your parents are loving you. Everything's great. And then this other crying thing comes into the picture and takes all of your attention. But you can't work through that in your head because you're a baby. And suddenly you are abandoned and you have a loss of attention from the people who you need it from most. So you grow up and you're trying to fill that attention. Where do I get it? Another good experience is, let me think. There's just so many, but I would say, looking at it, almost anything can be traumatic because there's just so many things that we need to receive from both of our parents. So your parents not fully being within their self-love shows you how to treat yourself. Mm. If you grow up with a mom who's struggling with her own eating or struggling with her mental illness, as a kid to a mom who's struggling with depression, all you want is her love. So you will do anything to get that from her, which is comforting her all the time when she's down. Or if she's bipolar, it's imagine as a child not knowing what your mom is going to act like at any given moment and having to, you know, brace yourself for that experience. So people think, no big deal. My mom dealt with, you know, mental illness when I was younger, but it really impacts the way that you take care of yourself and teaches you how to take care of yourself, which can be, you know, really big for someone that later in life then ends up struggling with their own mental illness.
Wow. Those are big revelations to have for sure. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I love that in you saying that, you're destigmatizing trauma. Like there are definitely different layers, and there are the, like you said, the traumas that we hear about on the news and everything. But if everybody has gone through it, then it should be a priority for everybody to repair themselves and to fill those holes themselves with their own attention or things like that, instead of looking externally. Like you were talking about relationships, and I've experienced with that too, like looking outside of myself for somebody to tell me that I'm beautiful or worthy of love and attention, etc. And once you're on the other side of that, knowing how worthy you are, it's like, oh, I can't believe I let that person use me or whatever they did to you, but you just didn't know any better. And so that kind of like forgiveness almost of who you were in that moment, just doing your best. Same with when trauma happens to you, you were just doing your best and you can let it go now.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I think looking back to a practice that I do a lot is like when I get upset with myself for things I've done in the past, is like looking back through those old photos and like saying to that girl what she needed to hear during that time when she was acting out or when she was doing that thing. And once I look back and I see what she was struggling with, I'm like, she didn't know better. She couldn't have possibly known. She was acting from a place of trauma or whatever it may be. I love also calling it an emotional experience because people don't like to associate with the word trauma. Mm-hmm. We all have it though. And I think it's so important just to even be aware of what they are and how they're holding you back, because trauma causes these limiting beliefs that really stop us from stepping into our power and stepping into our purpose on a daily basis.
Wow. Yeah. How did you find that this was your purpose and where your power lies? Did it just kind of come to you intuitively, or how did you make that transition to know that being a soul coach and working with cords and nests and all of these things was what you were called to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have, as I said, I've always been geared towards wanting to help other people. But once I actually ended up working with a coach and just witnessing that there was this entire other world I knew nothing about where anything was possible, truly, it was just like mind-blowing to me. I was like, I don't have to work a 9-to-5 job and I don't have to believe all of these conditions that I've been led to believe. Like I can choose my own reality. And it was so cool to me just to be able to guide other people, because growing up, that was always just the person I was. I was always the person giving advice or stepping in to remedy the situation and just following the beat of my own drum, I guess. But I always knew I wanted to run my own business. So that's what I went to college for. I did entrepreneurship, and I thought I was actually going to open an adaptogenic chocolate business. Yeah, with my best friend. And then this all blossomed, and I was like, I absolutely love this. And I decided to create my own business for doing coaching.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I have totally witnessed that growth in you. Like, it's been amazing. And how you moved from, right, from San Diego to San Francisco, or the other way around?
I moved from my hometown of Boulder, where I lived for 21 years, to San Francisco. And then a few months later to San Diego, where I am now.
Wow. And you were talking about how you had manifested your apartment, right?
Yeah. So that's been a big journey for me as well. Just like coming into the realization again that like I can create my reality, and the things that trauma has made me think I could never have are now I'm beginning to realize that we're all worthy, you know, and I am inherently worthy, and I can step out of my shame and live the life that I've always wanted. which is such a cool realization. But yeah, I found this beautiful apartment here where I'm going to start seeing my clients and really just building my life. So it's been an amazing journey.
It's so awesome. And you just said something about how your trauma had never let you think that you could do that. Why do you think that it's so sneaky and that it stays with us for so long and kind of dictates our actions?
Well, I think trauma causes a lot of shame. And on the, you know, the scale of negative emotions, like shame is one of the most negative emotions we can possibly feel, along with guilt. So shame makes us feel like we aren't capable of the things that we desire, makes us feel like we aren't worthy. And I think that anyone who experiences being told they're not enough or having an experience that made them feel like they weren't enough as a kid, it's imprinted. We have these huge neural pathways. And when you grow up, for me, it was living at home for 18 years. I had the neural pathways of scarcity and fear and all the things that I picked up in that environment. And learning how to reroute those neural pathways, that is what makes the shift. But that's why it's so hard to get out of it, because your brain will always pick the path that it knows until you choose something different.
Wow, that's powerful. That's awesome. And so I imagine that kind of rerouting that neural stuff takes a while. And then in the meantime, you can like stop feeling ashamed, right? And how do you think that we can stop the cycle of shame and feeling regret and all of these things?
So I think that vulnerability is the key to get out of shame. That's what it was for me. And, you know, that can be a small step. That can be a big step. For me, it was, I had grown up never telling anyone about my struggles with an alcoholic family. And once I started telling people and just like letting it out instead of hiding it, I realized how many other people had the same experience. And I was like, why have I been hiding this for so long when I could have had communities to support me through this? I started seeing a therapist. I started like doing the work. And the more that I opened up about my past, the more that I realized it was nothing to have shame over. It was something that so many of us go through. And the more that you share, the more you normalize it. 100%.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That community aspect. And I think that's so, so crucial, especially when you're doing like energetic work and things that aren't in the mainstream of society, like having that community and realizing like, hey, I'm not alone for having this gift or this past or anything like that. That is so awesome.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And I still have people who will message me, you know, from high school and are like, I completely relate to your story. I never knew. Like, you never know who is listening to you, who is relating to you, and who you're saving by being vulnerable and sharing your past or what's going on in your life. So that's kind of what I live by, is like, if I can share a really vulnerable story and impact one person to know that they don't have to feel shame, I'm always going to continue sharing.
And I've witnessed that firsthand, and you're really good at that, about being like artfully vulnerable and really connecting with people online. It's such a gift that you have.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love being an open book, but it's always a work in progress. And, you know, I would say for anyone who's just beginning to start out, it's telling a trusted friend your story. It's going to a therapist. It's making that first step of just getting it off your chest. That was huge for me. It's like, this is what I've been through. And people are like, you know, find that person who's not going to make you feel shame or like pity you. Find that person who's going to relate to you and hold space for your heart.
Oh my gosh. Beautiful advice. Thank you. Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm not going to let you go yet. I have two questions that I ask every guest. The first one is, if you could recommend one book that's like your favorite book or a book that talks more about what you talked about today, what would it be?
Oh, wow. I have so many amazing books. So I guess Heart Talk by Clea Wade. I'm not sure if you've heard of that one, but it's poetry and it's all about self-care, self-love, and boundaries. It's a beautiful book to just open up every morning and like read a few pages, and it just sets you on that path of like taking care of yourself that day and setting the time aside to like really love yourself. And I like to just look at it every morning and get that amazing reminder.
Ooh, yes. Heart Talk, you said?
Mm-hmm. Heart Talk by Cleo Wade.
Okay, awesome. And the second one, if you had one mantra or phrase to give to the audience of advice in 10 words or less, what would it be?
Everything is happening in perfect timing.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Oh, that was brilliant. What a great way to end the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on, Amanda. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing everything that you do in 2019.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. It was amazing to chat with you.
Agreed. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye.